All right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Let's stand as we read the Word of God. Now, if you'll, I know it's been some time. Praise God, we've made it to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. It's been some time since we've been here, but if you remember, I included verse number 1 in chapter number 10, and I believe it fit a little bit better with the context. So we're going to pick up verse number 2. The Bible says this, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Lord, we love you today. Lord, we're so thankful again. Lord, we want to be careful, God, to give you all credit and praise. Lord, what you did in the service this morning. And Lord, I ask, God, Lord, that you just help us tonight. Lord, would you just get rid of every ounce of pride, Lord, and our ego. And Lord, that we would hear from heaven tonight. And God, that we would just take some of these biblical truths, God, that's found in your word and apply them. So, Lord, that we can be better servants for you. And Lord, we'll praise you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Over the next little bit, over the next couple of weeks, probably into chapter number 12, and I even believe into maybe a little bit of chapter number 13, Paul's going to be dealing with what I would call order in the church. Now, what we just read, I know probably a lot of you are looking at it the way I looked at it, and I'm sitting here thinking, what in the world is Paul talking about? Coverings and cutting hair and all this stuff. Well, he's going somewhere with it. But ultimately, he's talking about order in the church. And right now, he's dealing with public worship. And then he's going to deal with how they handled the Lord's table. And then he's going to deal with spiritual gifts that were given within the local church. And these three things all have to do with how we conduct ourselves inside the house of God. And can I just throw this little thing out here? We ought to be mindful of how we conduct ourselves in church. I know it's a lost thing, but I feel like in 2021 there's a little bit of reverence that's been lost for the things of God. Would you agree with me? And I think that we ought to be careful on what we do and how we act. And I still believe, now don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. We are the church. The people is the church. But I still think there is some reverence for the building, for the place that we gather and worship. And I'll just leave that right there. But we see number one in our text, we see an opening praise, if you will. Verse number two, Paul says this, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." He says it's important to remember. Now, you remember we started in 1 Corinthians. It's important to remember that a key to interpreting Corinthians is to remember that Paul is answering questions. Some of you still remember. And so we understand that according to Acts chapter number 18, Paul started the church at Corinth, and he was there, some believe, about a year and a half, and he began to teach them, and he taught them certain doctrines, and eventually he moved on to Ephesus. But Paul praised them for remembering him, and remembering, that word ordinances is just another word for teaching. He's praising them for some of the teachings that they remembered when he was with them. Listen, Paul don't have a lot of good things to say about this church, but there are a couple that he says, and he praises them for them, that they remember the teachings while he was there. These ordinances were the traditions of teaching. Now let me just say this, biblical traditions are okay to keep. Man-made traditions are okay to keep. as long as we don't hold to them traditions and put them above the Bible. Amen? And to be honest with you, there's some traditions that we probably just need to get rid of. There's some that's okay. I've found this, that traditions are peer pressure from dead people. In other words, we say it like this, because Papa Joe always did it, we got to always do it, because great-great-great-great-grandpappy did it, and he was out in the cemetery. Now, listen, that ain't the case. If it lines up with the Bible, we keep it, but if it don't, we can consider it and check it out. Amen? Anyway, so we see an opening praise. Paul says, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and you're keeping the ordinances as I deliver them unto you. So we see, number one, an opening praise, but number two, and this is what we're going to focus on tonight, and then next week, the principle of divine order. Paul's going to lay a principle of divine order. Now, we're going to be on some sticky situations tonight, so I want to give you some groundwork before we get into this, okay? I'm going to give you two foundations that we need to establish right here, right now, before we move forward. Foundation number one, the value of men and women are equal in the sight of God. We need to understand something. In almost every other religion, the female is degraded. But in Christianity, she is elevated in equal sight with God. You understand? So I want you to have that in your head. Listen, men and women are equal in the sight. There is just as much value in the woman as the man. There is no difference, okay? Let me just give you some scripture to back up what I just told you. Galatians 3:28, the Bible says this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So foundation number one, I want you to keep this in your mind as we journey through this. The value of men and women are equal in the eyes of God. Foundation number two, the roles of men and women are not equal. The roles of men and women are not equal. Now, I know you're getting quiet on me. Now, just remember what I just told you. The value is equal, but our roles are different. Ladies, would you remember what I'm about to tell you? Remember this. You write it down if you need to. Your role does not determine your value. Okay? Your role in what you do, what God has planned for you, does not determine your worth. It does not determine your value. It has been misinterpreted that way. In 2021, it's been misinterpreted that man, that Christianity and the church is, oh man, that the women can't do this and they should do this and that how we degrade. No. It has nothing to do with your value. We have to understand, though, that there are different roles, okay? I want you to go to a couple places with me. And let me just say this. You may disagree with me, and that's fine. And we can talk about it after church. But listen, I'm going to give you scripture for everything I'm going to tell you tonight. So part of it is you just need to realize what the Bible says. And it ain't me, it's the Bible. Amen? All right, I need to move forward. All right, I'm getting some looks. Here we go. I want you to take your Bible real quick. Just put something in 1 Corinthians because I want to give you this foundation. Put something in Corinthians, and I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Now here's what I told you. The roles of men and women are not equal. Okay, there's different roles. Our value is the same, but our roles are different. All right? 1 Timothy 2, some of the men, I'm going to call on you to read, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Brother David Miller, are you there? When you get there, would you read verses 11 and 12 nice and loud?
Yes. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to use up authority over the man, but to be in silence.
Now, I'm sure you've heard this scripture go 120 ways. I'm just going to give you a basic definition of what this verse is, okay? The women are not to teach or to usurp authority over the men. Here's what that means. The women ought not teach the men, okay? And the women ought not to object the authority or the teaching of the man. Here's what that means. If you become a Tabernacle Baptist Church, you'll know that we have a man in the pulpit. Praise God, I'm a man, amen. No apologies here. You'll realize that Brother David Miller teaches an adult Sunday school class. You'll realize Brother Doug teaches an adult Sunday school class. You'll realize that Travis teaches a Sunday school class. You'll realize that Brother Shane teaches an adult Sunday school class. They're all men. But you'll notice when we get beyond the teenage years into little children, then we have women that teach. And that's okay. I believe that's biblical. Now listen to me. I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. There are things in the Bible I don't understand. I just don't. But I just take them for what they are. And I believe them. Y'all still with me tonight? I don't know why God had that the way it is, but that's the order in which He created it. And listen, I'm not here to try to tell you I know the mind of God, because I don't. But I just know what's in the Bible, and we're just to obey the Bible. But listen to me. Your roles, ladies, does not determine your value. Everybody still with me? I ain't voting me out yet, all right? Just hang on. All right, here we go. Let's go to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. How many would you agree with me tonight that in 2021, we've seen through the past decade, 15, 20 years, this rise of what I would call the feminist movement? Listen, can I just be honest? That is not of God. In fact, it degrades women. It tells them that they're not, that they should be doing something, that what they're doing is not important. In fact, it degrades them instead of lifting them up and telling them what they are. But I want to show you something. But I believe that we went off track in a shape. But look at Titus. I'll read this. Titus 2, chapter number 3, the Bible says this. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. Notice the next three words. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Ladies, listen to me, and I want you to my heart here. I don't want you to think I'm some bully from the pulpit, but I'm not. Your primary role is your home. Now, I'm not against a lady going out and getting a job. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is your primary role is your children. Amen? Y'all with me tonight? That is your primary role. You are not to neglect your home. The rearing of these children to go out to the world and make money. I know this ain't popular preaching right now, and I'll probably receive flack of it on the internet, but that's all right. Okay? Y'all seeing what I'm seeing? And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you cannot work. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying we're on dangerous grounds. Lord, have mercy, what I'm about to say. We're on dangerous grounds when you drop your child off for 10 hours of daycare. You go to a job, and you got to call the daycare to figure out how to get your kid to quit crying because you don't know them good enough, better than they know them. I know that ain't popular preaching, but I'm just here to tell you it's not biblical. Keepers of the home, loving their children, loving their husbands. Y'all don't hate me, please. But listen to me, that is the primary role that I find in the book of Titus, in the book of 1 Timothy. We're seeing different roles as women have their roles. Now, I want you to go to 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. Brother Travis, you there?
Yes.
Would you read verse 1 and 2, please?
This is the true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, having a good conscience, vigilant in sober, and of good behavior, given hospitality.
Did you notice the phrase, the husband of one wife? You notice it says husband?
Yeah.
You know what that means? It don't say the wife of one husband. This is the husband of one wife. If I believe my Bible, that I believe that is a male role that goes behind the pulpit. I, as your pastor, according to the Bible, I do not believe women have the authority to preach and pastor church. I talked with the deacons before I ever come here. They knew where I stood on the matter. I don't believe in the. Is Joyce Meyer, she's still around? She's still preaching? I don't subscribe to that. I just don't. By the way, she's a good teacher. She's a good preacher. But just because you can don't mean that you should. This role is for a man. And I know this is, y'all, this is just some down-to-earth stuff, but I'm just giving you what I got here. These are roles that God, I did not design these roles. The Lord did. We find different roles in the church, and this is what Paul's getting. He's getting the order in the church and how men have certain roles and how ladies have certain roles. Listen, we don't let a man work in the nursery. Sorry, men. And I believe that's good wisdom. Somebody say amen. We all got different roles. We all have different places to fulfill. And I'll just say this, and I know I just said it. Listen, there are some ladies that can probably preach wonderful. I'm just telling you. Some of them preach a lot better than I could. Not that I'm a good preacher, I'm just saying. But just because you can does not mean that you should. One last place real quick. I want you to go to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Y'all still love me tonight. Genesis 3. Remember, ladies, keep that in your mind. Your role does not determine your value. Okay? We are equal in the sight of God. Equally valuable. Proverbs 3. I want you to look at verse number 16. The Bible says this. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now watch this. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You notice that was not placed in Scripture until after the fall of man. That the husband would have to rule over his wife. That phrase, I believe I've arrived at the correct interpretation, thy desire shall be thy husband. Over time, I believe that we have watched before our very eyes that the rise of this feminist movement has wanted to take the role of what God said the man's role is. And we see, you watch the news and you everything that you look on social media, there's certain women, and I'm not saying y'all, but there's certain women who want to take, they're not content with their God-given role. They don't want what the Lord has given them. They want what God has given to man. And there's a desire there. But the Bible says the husband will have to rule over the wife. Women desire the role that God has given to man. Now, what is the principle? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11. What is the principle here? And I'm not going to finish this. We'll get a little bit, but we'll finish this part of it next week. 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 3. Now here's the principle that Paul is establishing about this head covering, about public worship. Look what he said. He said, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. The term head in our text has a couple definitions. It's derived from the Greek word kephale. And it can mean one of two things. It can actually mean your physical head. And we're going to see that evidence in Scripture when they talk about the head covering of somebody's head that sits on top of their shoulders. But also it talks about head as the authority. The source of authority, if you and in our context, both definitions are used, and it will tell us what it's talking about. So we see the first principle stated is this. We see the head of every man, or the authority of every man, is Christ. Christ is the chief shepherd of the church, and all of mankind is underneath the authority of Christ. Now, it's not, listen, the forbearing and the long-suffering of God has given us the idea that the world is completely into chaos and that God has lost control. But listen to me, Jesus Christ has not lost control. He's still on the throne and He still has mankind underneath His subjection. The only authority Satan has is what has been given to him by God, evidenced in the book of Job. You say, prove it to me, preacher. Matthew 28:18 says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hebrews 2:8 says this, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, would you agree with me here? Majority of mankind has not acknowledged the authority of Christ. In fact, only the minority has acknowledged the authority of Christ. In His long-suffering and forbearance, He's allowed unbelievers to ignore His lordship. But listen to me. There's coming a day when all of mankind will acknowledge the lordship and the authority of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it may not look like it tonight, church, but I promise you this, Jesus Christ is head of man. And even though we may not see it now, there is coming a day when the Stalins and when the Hitlers and when everybody that defied the name of God will be forced to their knees at the name of Jesus. And they'll be forced to say that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'll just tell you this, I'm all right saying it over here. They may not say it here, but they'll be forced to say it over there. Christ is head of the church. That's what Paul is dealing with. Not only the head of every man is Christ, but look at verse number 3. The head or the authority of the woman is the man. God established the principle of male authority and female subordination for the purpose of order and completion, not on the basis of any innate superiority of males. Now, let me just say that there have been males that have abused that authority. There have been preachers that have abused that authority. There have been husbands that have abused that authority. Men, can I talk to the men for a second? This is a God-given gift to us, and we're not to take it lightly. You know, I was talking about women preachers and how they put a lot of the men preachers to shame. But simply put, God does not allow it. Not because they don't have the ability, but because simply God has established order. The head of the woman is the man. Remember, ladies, just because men have been given this authority does not lower your value or make you less spiritual. But listen, when you submit yourself to this order, you are obeying a biblical command. And then we see, he says this, the head, the authority in verse number 3 says the head of Christ is God. The authority is God. Now listen, would you agree with me here? Christ is co-equal with the Father. Amen. Biblical doctrine. He placed himself in submission to the Father, did not make him any less God. When he placed himself in submission to the Father, he was just as much God then as he is now. It was a willing submission that took place. This does not mean that he possesses more authority or more power than the Father. It does mean that Christ placed himself in submission to the Father to carry out his will, according to Philippians 2. John 4:34 says this, Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So, when Paul says in verse number 3, but I'd have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Well, so how do we apply this principle? Or how is he going to apply it to the Corinthians? Let me just give you a couple of things and we'll be done. Verse number 4, the Bible says this, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. Let me call Tom out and just say this. It never says that women can't pray. I know. Listen, I know. I've heard some heretical preaching. She ought not pray. I don't find that anywhere in my Bible. I find they ought not teach men. They ought not usurp authority of the man teaching. But nowhere they are commanded not to pray. In fact, I'll just say this. I praise the Lord for some praying women here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. Amen. But the principle applied. Now, to properly arrive at what the Lord would have us understand tonight in the text, we need to understand the culture in which the Corinthians lived. It was in the Roman Empire that men commonly covered their heads with their robes or their togas, if you will, as they performed pagan worship rituals. It's important to know Paul's teaching responded to the particular pagan influence in Corinth. In other words, I say this, what he's about to tell them does not apply to us today. Otherwise, all the ladies have to have head coverings on. Y'all ever notice this? Y'all ever notice why it's okay for a lady to wear a big old hat to church, but the men are supposed to take their hats off when they come to church? Y'all ever notice that? Yeah. And I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but especially if you go to a African-American church, we did many funerals for them. I mean, those ladies, a lot of them wore hats. If you go to a Kenny Baldwin's church up in Falls Church, Virginia, you'll find a lot of the ladies wear hats, but the men don't. It's disrespectful. You ever wonder where that come from? Now, I believe that is a traditional practice, and man, I don't think the Lord's going to strike your head if you walk in here with a hat on. I just don't. Okay? But we need to understand this. Paul is writing to a specific cultural aspect that the Corinthians were in that does not apply to us. Okay? And it's important to understand there's a deeper truth that he's talking about, this thing of submission, but he's applying it to them. You say, preacher, how do you know this is just a Corinth custom and not a universal command? Listen, when Moses, according to Leviticus 8, verse 9, he wore a turban or a hat when he did the priestly ministry. So when he went to worship, he wore. But Paul's saying, guys, you can't wear one. So it was specifically applied to the church at Corinth. Verse number 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head, that is his physical head, covered, dishonoreth his head, that is the authority. Who is the man's head? That is Christ. So he says, when you come and you prophesy and you pray with the head covering on, you're dishonoring Jesus Christ. This local Corinthian custom reflected the divine principle that the man is head of the woman. A man who did not wear his head covering or signified a godly authority over the woman. Every man, verse number 4, praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. So in other words, the man who you're not supposed to wear a head covering, if that makes sense. To cover a man's head was disgraceful because it suggested a reversal of proper relationships within the church. In other words, say all that to say this, to cover your head physically dishonored Christ, the head who is the authority. And then he says, but every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all as one if she were shaven. The women were commanded to wear a head covering while praying or prophesying. Why, preacher? Why do they have to do that? This head covering symbolized her submission to her husband and to the men of the church. I remember when I was in Iraq, we'd be going through the streets. Every single lady you saw, the only thing you could see were her eyes. Now, in the Islamic culture, they took it to an extreme. But some of the Eastern culture, we see the woman would wear this covering symbolizing her submission to her husband and to the men of the church. Paul says in verse number 6, for the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Shaving of the woman's head identified her as rebellious, and such was identified her with the temple prostitutes. That's what he says in verse number 6. He says, but if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Listen, the rebellious women in the Corinthian age and the temple prostitutes would shave their head. He says, when you shave your head, you're identifying that you're one of them. Back then, only a rebellious feminist or prostitute would shave their head. And can I just say this? Not much has changed today. You ever look, watch the feminists who march in the street? A lot of them have their head shaved. Why? It's a spirit of rebellion that's rising up in them. So, preacher, how do we take this and apply it to us today? I'm going to give you a simple principle for us today. There should be a clear distinction between men and women. There ought to be a clear distinction, men, on how we appear. And ladies, there ought to be a clear distinction between how you appear. By wearing this, or let me just say this, and let me put it in redneck terminology. Men need to look like men. Ladies need to look like ladies. I'm going to leave it at that. But I believe we've blurred the lines. You don't got to drive far down any street to find that ladies want to look like men and men want to look like ladies. I was in a very popular drive-thru up here. They sell a barbecue tray, if you know what I'm talking about. What I thought was a guy handed me my food and had fingernails painted purple that long. All kinds of jewelry on. But, I mean, I knew he was a dude. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just sitting here thinking, what in the world? This guy, what are you trying to do, man? You know? 2020, we don't even know what the bathroom to use. Paul's saying this. God created them male and female. And I'm not saying that. I was reading the news just the other day where, man, they're doing all these gender-neutral things where they don't tell the kid if they're a boy or a girl. They just let them grow up and decide what they want to be. What kind of nonsense is this? You decide. No, it ain't for them to decide. God already decided it in Genesis. Amen? And listen, we ought to have enough parents to, excuse my language, but when they're born, you can look at them and know what they are. Amen? And it ain't our job. We are taking the role of God. You study Romans chapter number 1, and we're seeing it right before our very eyes. Paul's saying, listen, and he's giving them something that specifically applied to them, but the truth of that is this, is God created order, and you're to dress like a man, and you're to dress like a woman. And the same thing still applies today in 2021. Verse number 7. For a man indeed ought not cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power, a symbol, that word means symbol, on her head because of the angels. For man is not of, that word not of means man didn't come from a woman, but the woman came from a man when the rib was pulled from Adam. Neither was man created for the woman, but the woman was for the man. She was a helpmeet to the man. For this cause, the woman ought to have power in her head because of the angels. If you were to go to Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 23, I'll read it for you. The Bible says this, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In other words, say like this, if I cut my arm off and we threw it in the woods somewhere and I never got my arm back, I would be an incomplete person until I got my arm back. Would you agree with me? My body wouldn't be complete because God created me with two arms. That's what He told Adam. When He created Eve, He took His rib out. And do you realize He could have created Eve out of the dust of the ground just like He did Adam? But He's doing a principle here. He's saying, I created her from a part of you. And because a part of you is now her, for the rest of your life, Adam, you will never be complete unless you have her. You are now one flesh. And the same thing with Eve. Eve, unless you have, from here on out, you will never be complete. That's why marriage is important, y'all. That's why I still believe in the sanctity of marriage. Man was not created from the woman, but the woman was created from the man, Paul says. Adam, the rib was taken out of him, he would be incomplete without Eve. For this reason, Paul says in verse number 10, look with me, "For this cause ought the woman to have power." That's that covering, that symbol, that authority of her submission. It's interesting what Paul says, and I'm going to close with this. He says, "Because of the angels." Isn't that interesting? I read that and I'm like, what in the world, Paul? Gives the idea that the angels are observing their public worship. Let me prove it to you. Would you take your Bible, go to Ephesians chapter number 3? Ephesians chapter number 3. I believe right now angels join in with public worship of the church. I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy, and I would have never even thought of it until I read the scripture. Ephesians 3:8, till I studied this. Look at Ephesians 3, verse number 8. The Bible says this: "Unto me, who am less than at least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." What is the mystery? It's coming to the church. "Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now," look at this, "unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known." How are they known? "By the church, the manifold wisdom of God." Go to 1 Peter chapter number 1 quickly. Go there quickly, quickly, quickly. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, look at verse number 10. The Bible says this: "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what," or what manner of time, "the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven." Look right here. "Which things the angels desire to look into." Isn't that interesting? Paul's telling these Corinthians, you need to be careful how you conduct your public worship, because the angels are learning and they're watching. Isn't that amazing? You need to think that the angels are right now here watching how we worship. And to think when Brother Travis gives you some scripture to try to encourage you about singing a song, and you come in here with a discontent heart and you don't feel like singing, and the angels are watching. As heaven on earth. Paul said you need to be careful how we conduct ourselves in public worship, on how we do things. Worship is a serious thing because the angels are observing. Let me just close with this. And we talked about how we conduct ourselves. Listen, how we conduct ourselves in the house of God and how we conduct ourselves with worship is serious. It's not just a thing that we just, well, it is what it is. No, it's serious. Paul's going to give some more examples and he's going to go into some things. But we need, for the sake of time, let's close. God, we love you. Lord, I ask God that you just help us to have a biblical understanding of these truths, Lord, of this divine order that you have set in place, Lord, for the man and for the woman, and Lord, instructions for how we worship, and Lord, how we do things here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. It's not because we devalue somebody, but Lord, it's simply because, Lord, you are valuable, or they are valuable in your sight, Lord, as equal, and God, you have given us specific roles, and Lord, we may not agree with it, but Lord, it's Bible. And Lord, I ask God that you'd help us, Lord, to have a submissive heart to the Word of God. And Lord, so that we can do all things decently and in order. And Lord, as we conduct ourselves here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, Lord, that you would be pleased, Lord, with everything that's said and done. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. You shake hands.